Hey everybody, welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about the second half of Freak Show Showstopper, I think it was.
Yes.
Let's get to it. We have so much to cover in this episode. Last time, I believe we left off with Chester having, it's unclear if it's the first time he's realized it, that he killed his wife and her lover, and it wasn't the haunted doll, bees in his head doll. I don't know. It's unclear. But yeah, so currently Chester is the owner of the circus, and people are slowly but surely starting to kind of realize, hey, maybe something's up with this guy, which is like a really accelerated arc for what it's worth. Oh, also, I'm a terrible host. I'm joined by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey.
It's fine.
It's fine. They know.
Hey, sorry. I wanted to get down to the get down. I love this show so darn much.
No, I'm in the same boat. I didn't even notice, seriously. So yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it cuts in on a banquet with all of the quote unquote freaks, with the exception of Elsa isn't there and Chester isn't there and Stanley is also not there anymore.
Right, yeah.
I guess Dot and Bette weren't there either. I don't know. It's like such a, the random hodgepodge nature of the group forming in this game or in this show is like really hard to follow sometimes. Like they'll just be random, especially because there are characters that literally don't do anything, you know, and they'll just appear and vanish and whatever.
Yeah.
So they're having their big feast, and they have a toast to Ethel, I guess. Everyone really liked Ethel. It's kind of unclear why. Paul goes and says Chester owns the circus, but he's still going to have, or, you know, Elsa's still going to be making all the choices and Elsa's going to be in charge and she might even kill everyone in her way. Legless Susie just goes, hey, yeah, that one guy said that Elsa killed Ethel. We all believe him, right? The guy who, like, we were chasing out of the freak show. We trust him implicitly.
Yeah, who
allegedly
killed several of our, like, friends, our very close friends. The guy who we are, like, really mad at because we believe implicitly that he murdered some of us for money.
Right. The guy shown to be a liar about who he was and why he was here and everything. Yeah.
He would definitely have no vested interest in making sure that we didn't trust Elsa. We definitely should believe him implicitly. He has no reason to lie to us.
And it was good timing when he told everybody. Yeah, for this, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he wasn't under like duress
motive.
Or anything.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It makes sense that it's Paul, I guess. That's the only thing I will say about this scene, because the rest of it doesn't make any sense. It literally makes no sense. It literally is like there's a point in the script where it's like, and this is the point where the freaks decide they don't trust Elsa. But it makes sense that it's Paul, I guess, because he did get stabbed
Paul,
by her.
Paul bringing it up, he got stabbed. Yeah, Paul is like the one who he's allowed. Like, it was just Paul airing a grievance, too. He was just like, ugh, Elsa's still basically in charge of this shit. Like, just, you know, being annoyed about it. And then Susie rolls in and is just like, I haven't stabbed anyone all night. who killed Ethel?
Go ahead. I was just gonna say, like, I don't really remember Susie having done a lot this season. Like, I mean, we've seen her around, but was she like involved in anything?
She was involved in the trying to tar and feather Penny's dad situation, which Penny is like really involved in this bit, and like the previous bit with Stanley, which is a little odd, I would think. She just got here.
Yeah, she's a little poochy here of just like, hey, who, you just showed up. What are you talking about? She's like, Ethel was like a mother to me. And it's like, you got here a week ago. What are you going on about?
I think she showed up like, well, she definitely like showed up while Ethel was still there because she was here in like episode one. But like, I don't think that she was like part of the freak show TM until like either the day that Ethel got owned or like after because that's the point that she shows up, the like when Paul gets stabbed, which is post Ethel, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, or it's like very close. The thing too is this show takes place over only a couple of days. So like, regardless of when exactly it is definitely less than a month,
right, yeah.
Which is like crazy. and yeah, so Penny agrees and, you know, like kind of goes in on this. And Paul then says something that's like wildly inappropriate in every way, shape, and form, because it is victim blaming of anyone who has committed suicide, and then also is just wrong, because he goes, Ethel would never have killed herself, I know for a fact, and she would have at least left a note behind, which she was going to. She did leave a note behind, but she did it so bad that you didn't know.
Also,
it's just like
even the first part of that where he's like, Ethel wouldn't kill herself like a coward, the first reaction to everyone finding out that she allegedly killed herself was everybody except for Jimmy being like, oh, that makes sense, she was dying of liver failure or whatever. Literally all of them were like, yeah, it makes sense that she'd do that, like,
go out on her own terms. I think somebody said too.
I don't know where this idea of like Ethel was too noble to kill herself came from. They were all super on board with her killing herself, like, earlier.
She was the equivalent of like being gently wheeled out next to a lake in a wheelchair and then just rolling herself into the ocean, except like with a gun and everyone else. So like, yeah, not great. And everyone was so cool with it. So just like, yeah, that makes sense. She's been going through a lot and she's going to die soon. No. Now they decide, well, Elsa's definitely culpable for this, which like she is. It's complicated, but like it's not really like it's not entirely on Elsa. I think that's fair.
Yeah, this one is not like Elsa trying to like get ahead or something like that. This is like
going to get shot in the head,
and she also knew the rest of the circus was going to get shot by Ethel. So technically, Elsa was like, "I got to save the circus. I got to save me and my freaks," and was like trying to do everybody a solid.
Yeah, like, you know, probably, like, right thing for the wrong reason, just because internally Elsa is really selfish, etc. But yeah, like, it's easy to kind of, like, be on her side on this one, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so not only was Ethel, planning on killing herself after she killed everybody else, so that first part doesn't hold any water, B, this is, like, maybe the one thing we can't really blame Elsa for. I mean, you have a lot of other reasons you could be mad at her. Her stabbing Paul, even if it was on accident, I feel like is grounds for, you don't get to be in charge anymore, actually.
Yeah.
Like, that was the twins thing.
And kind of, like sort of left them to die, like, didn't call, you know, the ambulance and even, like, kind of lied.
If when I worked at Johnson & Johnson, my boss threw a knife through my abdomen, I would probably file an HR complaint.
Yeah.
Like, at minimum.
Let somebody that's know. Like,
hey, so Chad threw a knife at me.
And it hit me, and then he like refused to call an ambulance, and he wouldn't let anybody else call an ambulance either. It was really weird.
There's actually a specific form for it, but it's, you know.
Yeah, you got a Q710 for getting stabbed.
Like, again, I hate dealing with these, but
so then they all have a big toast, and we're gonna go kill Elsa tonight. I guess. Sure, why not? I guess.
Yeah.
We're killing her, sure, why not? We cut to Dot and Bette in their tent, and they're complimenting each other on how good the sex was and how he's, like, definitely normal now and all that. Dandy walks in, and Dandy... this is, like, such a confusing scene, because it... Especially with what happened, I guess it's so that they say no to being, this is supposed to be them being uncomfortable because God forbid the twins just have a single noble thought between them. But Dandy comes in and goes, hey, whoa, it's cool. I know I missed my shot with you. I missed my time. It makes me sad. I wish I could have married you, but hey, it's cool. I get it. I'm an adult. Sometimes relationships don't go as far as you expect, and that's okay. You just gotta be cool about it. That's the big thing.
Yeah.
Now here's a folder I have of a private eye that followed around your new boyfriend. This is normal.
Yeah.
So about the first thing I said, my ass is scuttling it. instantly.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, like, weirdly enough, on like 7 different meta levels, like, this is almost the actor doing like a really good job of portraying what Dandy should have been, which is like a guy who is on the outside quite nice and polite, but on the inside is an insane person. Because the way he presents it, like, could absolutely be interpreted if you just took all the other stuff you knew about Dandy out of the picture and this, you were just looking at it from the point of view of the twins. Could just be a very rich, out-of-touch guy who doesn't understand how, like, real life works, because he's like, oh, okay, we're not going to be together, and I understand that, but I do want to still, like, take care of you, because I do care about you, so the only thing I could think of to do was use my money to make sure that the guy you're with now isn't dangerous, and here's the information I found, which, again, is not a normal thing that normal people do, but you could see a really insanely out of touch rich person thinking that that was like a good idea, even if they weren't a serial killer. That and kind like, of thing.
It's a really good point, because I rewatched this earlier today, and like Dandy's actually like really good in this scene. So like I will give it to him. Like he has like a little bit of a moment of like being a little choked up and a little hurt, but being like, I know. And like plays it out. Yeah, very, very like properly. Like he holds himself in very high esteem. And even as he's leaving, he's just like, it's okay. I'll leave it here and I've done what I need to do. I'll see you around, ladies. And just like, you know, like slowly walks out. And it's like this very good convincing like mask he's doing. That's quite good. And if this was Dandy for the whole series, damn, this show would have been better.
They somehow managed to do the exact opposite of like making a character like a Patrick Bateman type character of where you're like, oh, us, the audience, knows he's very scary and that the twins shouldn't trust him. But he's going to trick the twins. They somehow pull the opposite of that a second time, because they had this happen with him before when he was like trying to get them to do the secret or whatever, and then said the thing about seeing Twisty, whatever, where they have him tell the twins a truth. He's not lying to them or trying to manipulate them. He's like, hey, I had a private eye investigate the guy you're with who, you know, has the weird fucked up doll he never is parted from. Turns out he murdered 2 women. That's not great. And they're like,
here's a shock. The guy with the doll has some problems.
He's got some weird issues you may want to look into. I'm worried he might be dangerous. And they're like, nuh-uh, you're lying. And I'm like, why do you always do this to Dandy? He is, weirdly enough, never lied to you. He is like, you are the one set of characters that Dandy has never lied to. He has always been completely genuine to. And every time he tells you something, you're like, no, I have no reason to believe you're lying, but I think this is a mistruth. And they like yell at him and get mad at him. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, this is the truth, but mother told me to never argue with an angry woman. And then he just kind of leaves the folder there, like, do with that info what you will. And I'm like, at this point, it is kind of like, how have the twins not been murdered yet? Like, their survival instinct is, like, truly at zero at this point. Like, even if, that's the thing, is like, in a situation like that, like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. You know what I mean? If someone comes to you and is like, hey, I did some investigating. The weird guy you're with who has some weird tendencies that raises some red flags with, like, most of the people here, turns out he is on the run for doing murders. You, like, look into that. Even if it's, like, someone you hate, you, like, look into that information and just see, hey, what are they maybe talking about? Like, does this hold water or something? Like, let's see. Let's see what it's about.
I think, I think this is probably too, like, the twins don't want to believe it because they're, like, sort of enamored with finally, like, someone who's, you know, paying them attention. But you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of this is, like, someone we can finally fall in love with and, you know, isn't just grabbing a, honking a boob like Trousseau or whatever the hell the guy's name is, you know?
Toulouse.
But, what is it, Roos? I don't know.
Toulouse, so, like, the human cannonball, the French human cannonball we've recently gotten this episode for some reason.
Yeah.
Who's definitely always
sure
been a part
he's,
of
like,
the...
mentioned he's ever
been
again
here.
Until
yeah.
season
he's definitely
16.
Been here forever. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. He's always been here, just outside of the camera. We've never seen him before. He's always been an intricate part of the freak show and will participate in things that you would definitely not want to include someone who just joined the freak show in. Yeah. That's good old Toulouse.
That's, yep, Toulouse, right. And he'll get a reference in season 16 or 18 for no reason at all, just to tie things together for no reason.
It'll be his season. It'll be his backstory, in fact. It'll be a whole season dedicated to Toulouse the human cannonball. Can you believe it? I can.
Asylum, like, 2033, like, the future one, where it's there, like, floating, and anyway, so.
American Horror Story, France, and it just follows his story of being a French human cannonball.
That, it'll be done with no irony, like American Horror Story Paris. It'll be great. Anyway, like, so then, like, I think next day it's like they're at like a rehearsal then, right? Like, they're kind of getting it ready, but Chester's like running the show, and he's like talking about his act and his assistants and everything, and then Dot and Better having their little internal dialogue of like.
No, that rules. That's the best mistake. Thanks, man. I forgot why I love this show. That's awesome. Keep going.
Because they're like, what was it? They read the file, basically. And I think Dot actually is the one who's like, no, I don't believe Dandy or whatever. And Bette, who's usually like kind of the, I guess, more airheaded one, is like usually not the skeptical one or cynical one, is like, well, I don't know. He said he murdered people and stuff. Can we really trust him? You know? So I guess either way they decide, like, I don't want to be your assistant for this. And Chester's like, no, we'll wait till you hear this part. You're not going to be the assistant. You're going to be in the show. And like, Chester starts acting really like weird suddenly, like to the point where it's like, I'm kind of surprised nobody is picking up on this. Cause he's talking like, yeah, you're going to be in the show. You're going to be a main part of it. You might even say I murder you during it, you know, for real, though. And, like, everyone's like, oh, what the hell, Chester? Just get this over with. And they're like...
Did we skip ahead a little bit?
Oh, did we? I'm sorry. I thought that was actually right after that scene.
I mean, it is, chronologically it is. Like, it does happen chronologically, right after.
Unfortunately, there is a full flashback that we do have to see first. Also,
a flashback that will have nothing to do with anything, frankly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We have to go over that, though. Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, good. You're good. I think, did we talk? We didn't talk about Jimmy. Jimmy is recovering, just lying in bed, being angry, I guess, Toledo coding himself. Then Massimo comes in, who is the craftsman.
Yeah.
He gives him a penicillin shot because on top of being a carpenter, prosthetics maker, he is also a doctor.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Jimmy wants... He doesn't want hands because... So this is like a weird prosthetic thing, right? Of Jimmy's right in that, like... A wood leg is way different than a wood hand, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. But yeah. Is it to a guy who already had, like, messed up hands?
And
I mean, like, he had three fingers that he could, like, work with, as opposed to a wooden hand, which is just, like, you can pose it into a shape. Like, they didn't have the technology to, like, attach it to what's left of his, like, nerves in his arm. That wasn't a thing yet. It's just, like, a prop.
Right.
Like, yeah, honestly, like, my man had a point with, like, yeah, they've got these hooks you can use. Nifty hooks that'll let you can't jerk off, but you can smoke a cigarette. Well, and I'm like, all
right,
man.
it's weird, right? Because those are the two call-outs. He's like, well, with wooden hands, I can't jerk off or hold a cigarette, so I'm going to get hooks. And I'm like, well, you can do the one, you know, but...
was able to jerk off with his lobster hands, which I think is impressive, because his lobster fingers were like three times the length of regular fingers for some reason. I guess because they couldn't figure out a way to make the prosthetic... for the lobster fingers.
The size,
like,
of his hands.
Yeah, the size of his hands. So they are, like, massively long for some reason. They're, like, literally, like, the size of a whole nother hand. But he was able to wrap those bad boys around his hog and go to town, is the implication, at least from what he's saying. But, yeah, like, I don't know. The thing is, he's, like, so weird about it. And the thing is that with the way that this plotline culminates... No, like, nobody wins. Like, not only does he doesn't end up picking either of the options. He's like, no, give me a third worse option. that we haven't discussed for some reason.
But yeah, like, so.
Elsa starts like being weirdly horny about Massimo and vice versa. Oh. And they like gaze into each other's eyes or whatever.
Yeah, apparently Elsa loved this guy and he was the love of her life. And we're about to find out why. They do have one very agonizingly corny ass exchange where Elsa's like, yeah, he would have been with me if he wasn't such a fool. And he's like, my only sin was loving you too much. And then they like repeat it back and forth like, too much. It's like mad corny. And hey, gang, do you mind if I just like kind of hustle us through the most irrelevant flashback in history? All right, word. So there's a backstory flashback of Massimo. Massimo, it was upset because Elsa was mutilated by Nazis when they cut her legs off. Then there's a big reveal that the guy who was the head of the weird murder porn place was Dr. Arden, also known as Hans Gruber from season 2. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It doesn't. It's literally nothing. It's so nothing. He has no connection to it other than it is apparently the actor who played Dr. Arden's son, which I guess that's nice that there was a little bit of room for
Can I interject something? Because I'm having like a PTSD reaction to remembering this specific flashback sequence. Remember in Asylum how like it was a weirdly bit, two things. One, there was a kind of like a weirdly big chunk of the show that was like kind of centric around the point that Arden was like a weird prude about sex. And he like super wasn't into it. And when Sister Mary Eunice was like kind of getting horny, he was like, gross, disgusting, get that shit away from me.
He
was like,
he had like a weird violent ace turn.
And then when he finally did try to have sex with someone, that one lady who got turned into a little monster, I can't remember her name. He like pulled his dick out and it had been like exploded off or whatever. Like, don't you think that would have been tiny. You think that should have been brought up?
She said a thing like, were you in an accident? But they never like extrapolate on it or anything.
Yeah.
Which is like, so he's just got a tiny weenie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
so he's here. Apparently he was the ringleader of the group. He's the leader of the bunch, and he got her legs cut off, which he was like, okay, do the other one slowlier, which is a cool flashback. So the flashback is explaining that as Elsa fled from Germany after the war to come to America, Massimo stayed behind and went through and killed the Nazis one by one who were part of that group. And like, is just like kicking down doors, stabbing people. Like, it's not like an eloquent
with an practiced axe callback. Anyway.
He does an axe once.
Why?
And it's like, I don't know why. Like, this is the whole, like, there's always a girl, there's always a lighthouse thing again of just, like, there's always a weird jazz man with an axe. he loves to kill. he loves killing, and he loves this one specific woman.
It. But it's like wood being, like, knocking against each other as he's making a hand. Anyway, yeah.
He's going through and killing everybody. And then when he finally runs into the young Dr. Arden, he walks up behind him to kill him. And then Arden is just like, I have a gun.
Right.
Which, like, I guess. So he just, like, turns around and shoots him, which seems like a thing you should be ready for. You know,
right?
You should, like, have a plan.
No,
that,
he's fighting
what if
back.
They have a gun?
I never would have expected them to do this. This is so crazy.
I can't believe one of the Nazi soldiers had a gun. Yeah, it's like crazy. Yeah, ridiculous.
So Arden shoots him once in the tummy, and he has no adrenaline response. He has no follow through. He has no, like, any of the normal things that happen. He just goes, ooh, my tum-tum. Ooh, my stummy. I took a big shot. Ah! And he, like, falls down to the ground and just passes out instantly, I guess. Like, I've never actually been wounded before. This sucks.
And, people, this sucks.
Why would I do that? Holy shit, what's wrong with me? So Arden, like, takes him and throws him into, I guess, a prison cell he has in his house.
Yes.
It's unclear. It's like he has a prison cell in his house, I guess. And then, yeah, thank you for highlighting what is maybe the funniest line that they did not intend as comedy, which is, he took my attempt to kill him personally. Very personally. Like, and it's just like, yeah, you tried to kill him with an axe.
But that is like literally like a line like from a comedy movie, except they really say it like as if it's supposed to be like, yeah, very like personally, I'm being tortured. Like, what the fuck, you idiot? Like, what kind of stupid shit is this? But
I feel like that only works if the guy doing the killing is like a hired assassin with like no vested interest in killing the person they're like trying to kill. But this guy is like only there for personal reasons. That's his whole deal. That's why he's there. He's taking it personally.
Like if John Wick said that after killing like the Pope or something, you'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. He had to do it.
Yeah.
But like not this guy. So Grouper is torturing Massimo and making his life horrible. And they have a very loving shot panning underneath a chair as Dr. Arden straps two alligator clips to, I presume, his balls, which... not a lot of room for current to flow between one sack and the other. I feel like you'd mostly just be getting a little tingle in the scrot, you know? It feels like you'd want to get, like, farther separation between the... this isn't relevant. He does a bad job torturing him. And then you might ask, what was Massimo's plan, his beautiful escape? A guy who was higher ranking than Arden, who, by the way, is supposed to be standing in for the highest ranking Nazi scientist who ever lived. But like a guy above him showed up and was like, hey, can you stop electrocuting that carpenter's balls? I need some bookshelves for my stolen books.
That was the stupidest. He's like, books, stolen books. Like, oh shit, the Nazis really were bad.
Oh man, they stole? Holy shit!
And it was books.
What else did they do?
That's like the most important thing. You're not allowed to do that.
That's what made that Operation Paperclip's about. I get it now. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's about getting back our books, baby. Get me back my books.
Wait a minute. This knowledge is copyright on it. Ah.
Do you think that was a reference to something? Because that's so specific. Do you think they were trying to reference something? I don't know what it would have been, but like...
I feel like maybe they just... I don't know. Maybe, but it feels more like they were just like... If they didn't say stolen, it'd be like, well, maybe they were saying the Nazis are learned or something. We better
end
this.
Nazis can't read?
Yeah. not books they paid for, anyway.
Like, it is a little bit of like a common trope in like film and media to have like... Oh, well, they had me in prison and everything was miserable, but I was really good at accounting. So I ended up, you know, becoming the accountant for the warden or whatever, like that kind of thing.
Yeah,
but
they would absolutely steal from Shawshank. So yeah,
Yeah. That's why I was like, Shawshank's like like people love that movie. So yeah, I would expect it to maybe be like trying to pull from Shawshank. But yeah, so after he builds some bookshelves, the Nazi who has him gets tired, I guess, and he leaves. And he goes to America. Jimmy reasonably asks, oh, so you were here like 13 years ago or whatever. Why didn't you why did you never find Miss Elsa? And he just goes, like Pinocchio, I have no soul. My body is still here, but my mind is shattered. I cannot love. And then he's like, okay. Time to go. Walks away. Like,
also, like Pinocchio, I make beautiful, beautiful wooden hands. I make such beautiful wooden hands.
But doesn't he also say, and I wrote Elsa and she didn't write me back or something at one point? Like, isn't that, there's also that? Like, because it absolutely is that stupid Pinocchio line, but then, like, for some idiot reason, it's also like, and also, she didn't write me.
Pinocchio absolutely did have, like, that Pinocchio had like human soul. He just didn't have human body. That's the opposite problem.
That's literally the core conceit of Pinocchio, is that he had a real boy's soul in a wooden body and he wanted to be a real boy, and he goes on a journey discovering that the body is not what makes the person. That's like the point of Pinocchio.
I'm like, that was a weird part of the reverse torture. Pinocchio.
He only got to watch 5 minutes of Disney movies, so he couldn't really get it. You know?
Pinocchio was not one of the books that the Nazis stole, so he never got to read the
ending. I was
going to
say, the Nazi would never let me read the book, so I only read the back covers, and I'm pretty sure it was about that.
I'm pretty sure it was about a man who made beautiful, beautiful, beautiful puppets, and puppets had no humanity and was very sad, just like me.
Also, this is weird Italian accent I'm doing through the whole thing, because I could swear Massimo was German through most of this until I learned his name was Massimo, and then it's like, oh, yeah. All right.
He speaks Italian briefly, like, one time, but he is in Germany when all this happens. And, yeah. Like, they don't mention that he came from Italy or anything, so,
well,
I don't know.
Right.
I have a feeling this is like, there's like a weird idea of like the Italians as craftsmen and the Germans as like machinists and clockmakers. And I think this is partially that. That's like the best bet I have, is it's that weird societal implication being cast. But none of this matters.
Yeah,
so sure. Like, whatever, Massimo exists. I fucking guess. And after making a weird comment about how he does not fundamentally understand the story of Pinocchio, he stands up and leaves.
Yep. Never to be seen
again.
I'll
be back with the hands that you explicitly didn't want it. Like, the ones that you specifically said you did not want, I will be back with those. And I will have made them weirder and worse by the time this episode is over. And we're expected to believe that it was the good ending for some reason.
Also, the music is a slow down sad version of Send In the Clowns, which I don't think is appropriate, but it, like, it's one of those things that I'm like, wait, I know this song, and then that's what it is, so whatever.
They had to remind us this was Freak Show, Freak Show.
Yeah.
Freak Show Squared. Extra Freak,
Freak
Show.
Freak Show, kind of a circus, but not really.
Do Freak Shows have clowns? I feel like I've never actually looked into this. Okay.
No.
They don't have magicians usually either.
Do they have a special children's clown?
They did. Very briefly. He was there. He was on the carousel for like a minute and a half before Edward Mordrake showed up. But now they don't.
All right, well, that's the tale of Massimo. You're caught up now. Congratulations. Now back to the present.
Sorry.
Where we meet up with my good friend Slowbeef as he starts leading into explaining how badly does this rehearsal go. Oh, no, please, yeah, go ahead. This scene rules. Go ahead.
As I was saying, so Chester is like, we are going to have a rehearsal. Dot bet you in. And, you know, they're having their internal dialogue where it's like, he's a murderer. I don't think so. Danny could be lying, but, you know, whatever. And the roles are reversed and da-da-da, like I said before. Okay. And again, Dot Bet, I have a better thing for you than my assistant. You could be in the box getting sawed in half, part of the show. And they're like, nah. And then Maggie just out of nowhere comes out of the back and she's like, I'll be the cheese.
Yeah,
I'll
this is... This is like a joke. This is like a bit of like, he's like, I'm going to cut you two in half in two bodies. And like, even all the other freaks in the audience are like, that's not cool. You don't do that. Like, yeah. That's not like, if you undo the freak, like, even if you could, that's like the opposite of our deal here.
Right. Yeah.
And, and yeah, like so he pulls out the box too. And he's like, I'll cut you in half. Get in here. And like slaps the top of it. But it's like, still a box that cuts in half the wrong way for Bet and Dot. Like, mm-hmm. They would be a woman with they would be one set of legs and then two women on the top half. Like, it's not the right direction of box. So even if he was doing this, I'd look at it and be like, well, that box isn't right.
Can I also just say, as someone who's been in like a few shows, not freak shows, but like a few performances in my day, this isn't how a rehearsal mm-hmm. goes.
You don't usually just sit
around and watch one dude work on one act that doesn't involve all the other people. Well, they all just sit in the audience and pretend to be audience members and like provide commentary. That's not what a rehearsal is.
And he's also just like reading through the set list like I would if I like had a little set list taped to the floor next to my guitar pedals and I was like, okay, what song's next? Great. Like that kind of thing. Except, well, yeah, that's not a rehearsal.
Yeah, and this is also like all of a sudden Chester is now really kind of losing it out of nowhere, because then he's like, when he's like, all right, get in the box, Lucy, And she gets in, and almost like it was added in after the fact.
Oh, God, yeah, because, okay, Maggie is so funny in this. This is, like, the funniest shit to me. Yeah. Because it really cannot be overstated that it's, like, Beef isn't, like, missing a part here. It's, like, Dot and Bette are, like, no, we're not doing this. Clearly something's wrong, and you're freaking out. We're leaving, and they do. And then Maggie walks from, like, behind the curtain, behind the stage. Everyone else is in the audience. Right? Why the fuck is she back there? And she just, like, walks out oblivious to the whole exchange, I guess, except for that there needs to be a woman in the box, and she's just like, oh, hi, you can kill me. Yeah.
Like, it's, I want to be in the box. I'm so good at it.
Show more. And like
yeah. It's, yeah. Oh, I've seen it. I know how this trick works. I can do it. No problem. And Chester's just like, well, I got to cut a bitch in half. Like, it's insane. Why does he like be like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that works. That works. That's fine.
The fact that nobody in the audience has any reaction to this is, I think, the thing that really sells it. Of like this dude who they just met and bought their circus and they all know has like a weird doll thing TM is like acting more unhinged than usual. And the only characters who like have abided him until now just left and said, hey, you're being fucking weird. And yet none of the other freaks are like, hey, Maggie, maybe don't get in the box.
Yeah.
He seems a little off. I don't know.
And then, as if he couldn't be, like, he doesn't have to get more off, but he does get like, all right, we're doing a real deal thing. Come on, people backstage, you know? Like, I'm doing this alone by myself now. And they're like, all right, you know?
This seems normal.
It's like that scene in The Room where he's like, come on, everybody, let's go outside. And they all just do, and it makes no sense. But, you know, for real here or whatever.
So,
anyway. Yeah.
The thing is, so Maggie gets into the box, and the show writers of American Horror Story accidentally reveal that they do not understand how the sawing a woman in half trick works.
Oh my God.
She gets in the box.
Right.
And it's just one woman in the. So here, I'm Ty Tuesday. Get ready to have your fucking mind freaked, because there is two boxes and there is a contortionist, which is why it's important that they had a contortionist earlier, who is sitting in the bottom of the bottom half of the box.
Oh my God.
So she is completely hidden underneath of it. Like, there's like a false floor that she sits underneath. And then as Maggie would be getting into the box from the top, she has her head coming out of the top of it. And then she pulls her legs back up to her chest, like she said, but never sticking her feet out. Like, her feet never are outside of the box. Because as she gets into the box, the lady underneath sticks her feet out of the end of the box. That way Maggie can pull her feet to her chest, and then the saw goes through. They separate the box out. The contortionist's feet are still out the back end. Her head's still out of the top end. Ta-da, magic has happened. So Maggie just like lays down in the full thing. There's no hidden compartment. She just lays down in it with her feet out of one end and her head out of the other, meaning again, failure. You've already screwed up the goddamn trick. And then as soon as she sits in it and lies down, Chester's just like, and now for the most exciting part, manacles. and shackles her legs, which, like, her feet shouldn't even be there, man.
And like, if they were doing this normal style and this was the normal trick, yeah, the manacles would like add something for the audience, but like, it wouldn't be anything for like the act.
Yeah.
Because it would just be the contortionist's feet. So like, if he would have done this as he planned, everyone else would have been like, hey, why are you making the one lady put her legs through and then put manacles on them? Like, if he was going to do it with Dot and Bette, with all those people watching, like, what was the plan here?
It doesn't
here?
Work at all. Yeah. That's right, because
also like
no second lady.
Even if she was doing this and he didn't put manacles, the result of the trick would have been he starts putting the saw through, and then you see her feet go into the box as she curls into a ball in the top, and then there's just an empty half of a bottom box, and you go ta-da. Like, it kills me that like after so many people like characters in the show go, oh yeah, I know how that works. Oh yeah, that's really basic magic. Oh wow, this is a pathetic magic trick. And it's like, holy shit, you don't know how it works. Oh my God.
Is this, do you hate magicians because you're too fucking dumb?
Like, incredible. I didn't even pick up on that. You're absolutely right. Holy shit.
Was absolutely a weird little kid who loved magic tricks, so I was like on the ball for that. I'm like, if they do this wrong, I'm calling them out. And that was God.
Yeah. Also, no one thought it was weird that he called. Like, okay, so it's not that they didn't think it was weird, because they have Maggie address it, but like as he's like doing all this, he goes, "Get in the box, Lucy," and Maggie is just like, "Oh, that's weird. No, my name is Maggie," and it's like, is no one getting? No one have like a vibe detector?
My name's Maggie, by the way. Yeah, like,
and
it's not hard to tell when. And I don't know. I feel like women are pretty good at picking up on when a man is like freaking out and starting to be a little rage aggressive-y. That seems like a thing you pick up on pretty fast. And Chester's like not hiding it even a little bit. Like, he's like, "Get in the fucking box, Lucy." Like that. Like, if I did that to someone, I would be upset if they didn't go, "No." I'd be like, "What's wrong with you?"
There are two options here. One, Maggie knows he's the weird doll guy and still is not like on guard when he tells everyone to leave. Or two, she has no idea who this dude is and is like, "Yeah, put me in that box, brother. It's fine being a little weird."
I understand she's not good with people because, like, you know, as a cold reading psychic, you can't read people at all. Yeah. You know, you're not supposed to intuit anything. It's like, "Oh, wait, that's the whole fucking thing." Like,
she's a real psychic. She has real magic powers that she didn't use to find out that he's doing the magic trick wrong. She also doesn't know how the trick works, even though she says as she gets up on the stage, "I know how this trick works. I'll do it."
It makes me so mad. Yeah.
And she's not like bothered that that everyone's gone and that he's like Lucy. And then like he says like another thing too. What was it? I have it here. It's like he's just like, "Oh yeah, Marjorie." So Marjorie's suddenly real and like taunting him from the audience, you know. And then he's like, "You know, I'll teach you for betraying me." Or no, like, or he said, like, "Don't talk to me like that." And then Maggie's like, "I didn't say anything." And like, but still like, "Can't wait for the trick to go." La la la.
Yeah. And it like switches every time it cuts away and cuts back to Maggie's face. It's like one time it's Maggie, one time it's his wife, one time it's the lesbian who spit on him a lot or whatever.
Right.
And then the other time it's like, and then it cuts back the final time and it's Marjorie, the doll, but it's, you know, the actress. And she's like, "You won't do it. You won't do it. No balls, no balls." And he's just like, "I'll show you who's no balls." And Maggie's like, What's that about balls?" Ooh! As he saws through her.
Yeah. And she doesn't like really yell for help or anything as it's happening, and she can't get out of it until, you know, she's actually getting sawn in half. Everybody comes out.
Like, his whole deal is he's doing this specifically. Like, he set up this whole bit to try and get the twins in the box because, like, Marjorie is like, "You gotta kill the twins." And this was like how he was gonna do it. Was Marjorie like, "You could also kill this lady. I don't give a shit."
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, close enough. Yeah.
Like, the idea that, Marjorie, who, like, it's supposed to be, like, that happened, and then he has a weird obsession with two women, and then there are two women who are one woman, and he's just like, "Gotta kill her." And then just one woman who is one woman shows up, and he's like, "It's about halfway."
Close enough. Get in the box.
And then as soon as she starts screaming, then all of the freaks like slowly traipse out from the back. Like they do not hurry. They're just kind of walking out like, "What the heck? Chester like starts separating the box and being like, "Look, a woman in halves. Look, she's in halves."
Yeah,
and then nobody jumps him.
Yep. Yeah, they're just like, "Oh." Tactical effects gore. And then he's like, "Oh." And then he just leaves. And they're like, "What? Oh, she's really dead."
They're not even like upset because like the thing is they're all having everybody be like, "We hate Maggie for some reason," even though Maggie is the reason why they didn't all die. And was also a victim of Stanley's plan. But like they just see, like even if that was someone you hated, if you saw them get bisected, you'd maybe want to follow up on the guy that just did it. yeah. like a little bit, yeah. especially if he owned your like freak show. You'd maybe want to like follow up on it a little.
I don't care.
Yeah,
like,
I'll be
how...
real. Like, yeah. if a guy took out like a Hanzo Steel and like chopped Elon Musk in half, I'd still like keep an eye on him. I'd be like, okay, he had it aimed right, but that's pretty dangerous.
Like, yeah. Why does he still have it?
Let it rock.
Why does he still have the sword?
Yeah.
How hardcore are you, too, allegedly, that, like, you just see someone, like, cut in fucking half, eviscerated in front of you, nobody retches, nobody, everyone just like, wow, that's messed up. You know what I mean? Like, this is fucked up. Like, you're not that hardcore. Yeah. Like,
so... It cuts to commercial break, and then it cuts back, and Chester is on the stage, and everyone, like I said, is just walking, just slowly walking out, and just kind of being like, hum-de-dum-dum, what the heck?
Yeah.
As Chester then, like, starts trying to jam both the boxes back together, he's like, look, they'll become one woman again, ta-da! And he, like, pulls the box apart, and, like, some organs fall out, and then he's just like, oh, no, oh, my God, I did so bad! And then he, like, runs out, and everyone's just like, well, that just happened, and doesn't follow him.
I know.
They're like, oh, awkward. I think Desiree even says something to the like the effect of like, well, she had it coming, and I'm like, holy shit.
Desiree literally says the bitch had it coming, which is like, what are you talking? Desiree, what's wrong with you? Desiree is so fucking mean. She wants everyone dead. I swear to God. Every time, like, Desiree's like, hey, can we tar and feather someone today? I'm just like, you know, I'm a little on edge.
This could not have been more violent, too. And Desiree's just like, wow, yeah, well, she was a bitch. And, you know, it's like, wow, nothing? Like, really? But, all right.
And, like, had, like, Desiree's back up until now. She'd kind of been, like, becoming friends with Desiree, and that's why she confided in Desiree, like, we've got to save everybody from Stanley. And Desiree's like, I've decided I hate you, and I want you to be dead. I'm glad you're dead. I'm glad you got cut in half by a guy who's, like, insane, like, big style. I think it's good.
So, you know how we had in the last season, we had Misty Day, you know, the nicest little witch who never did anything wrong to nobody and then got, like, brutally fucking owned and everyone decided they didn't care about her anymore.
Yeah.
Why do they keep doing that? Because that's, like, Maggie was so nice to everyone. Like, even Jimmy, who, like, was very clearly interested in her and, like, in a relationship and then just,
wait.
I don't know. Went crazy? Like, he just was like, ah, whatever, most beautiful woman I've ever met in my life. Who gives a shit?
Well, even,
Toledo code.
And even, like, one point later, not to skip ahead, but, like, something's like, when they tell him, like, Amazon Eve tells him, like, Maggie died. Do you want the details? He's like, eh. Like, he doesn't even give a shit. Like, how? Like, was it, like, cancer? Like, what happened? Like, I don't even care.
Yeah, like, did she die, like, trying to protect my honor or something? Like, nothing. Doesn't ask, did she kill herself? Doesn't even, like, at the very least, you'd think Amazon Eve would be like, hey, there's this guy at the circus. He fucking cut Maggie in half. It was super fucked up. I know you don't give a shit about Maggie, whatever, she's dead, but there is a guy actively at the circus who did cut her in half for foreseeably no reason because he doesn't know who she is.
Yeah.
So, like, that is a problem.
A weird guy showed up with too much money and decided to buy the circus, and then he tried to cut the twins in half, and he's just like, oh,
and it's
shit,
not
Dandy.
Handy.
No, yeah. a different guy. Yeah, a different guy.
A different guy with too much money. This guy sells chameleons. It's crazy.
Dude, he's like, oh, fuck. I knew Dandy didn't sell no chameleons.
Yeah, no one thinks it's urgent to deal with that.
Though? Like, I don't even care how she died. Like, even someone you don't like, you would probably give a shit. Like, well, how? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Arguably, the more important point is the guy who did it for no reason is still at the circus.
Still here. Yeah.
don't waste my time with this. I'm a busy man. I got a lot of drinking in bed to do. Like, get the fuck out of here. Anyway.
Okay, so, first off, Chester goes back to his tent where no one has followed him. He starts arguing with Marjorie, who is currently incarnated as human, and he starts like fighting back and forth with her, and she's just like, well, I'm gonna leave. And he goes, not without me, you're not, which is like so confusing, because like it's one of those cases of his tulpa, who is giving him nothing but trouble, was like, I'm gonna go. And yeah. He's just like, no, wait. And this is like another case of, they really need to show us why he like has this bizarre attachment to Marjorie. Oh, also, when he was sawing Maggie in half, one of the cut-ins was to his wife, who said, like, this is where I only mentioned it because we had brought it up before. Mm-hmm. She has a brief kind of throwaway-ish line of just like, ah, we were in love so much, and then you came back from the war with that weird doll and bees in your brain, which, like, okay,
did so you get I, it they're in saying the war? Like the.
Yeah, did you get the doll in the war? Yeah.
Where did you get this doll? Did you show up back on base with it? And everyone was like, hey, Chester, where'd you get that? And you were like, don't worry about it. And everyone was like, okay, I'm sure it's not like an explosive or anything. I'm sure it's fine. Yeah, just bring it on back to the base.
I killed some kraut for it. Good enough. Easy, soldier. Yeah, whatever.
So they have a stupid fight back and forth because she's not real in a doll and he's a weird guy. And then he decides to start stabbing the doll, and he's just like, oh no, I can't believe I'd like, this is the first time he has a reaction to having killed someone. Well, that's not true, because at some point he like comes to and realizes what he did to Maggie, and he's like, oh no, oh my god, and runs off. But yeah, and that's it. So then we have maybe the most useless flashback of the entire episode,
so
where Ethel is running one of the freak shows and announcing Jimmy the boy one lobster boy wonder here to do a big juggling, which like, yeah, that's like a fucked up thing to make the lobster boy do.
Yeah, right?
That feels like really good. That's like, it's like particularly mean. That's like that'd be like being like, yeah,
Legless Susie ride a bike.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Ass kicking contest, you're up. And yeah, so then like Jimmy's like throwing up, and he's like, "I'm not gonna do it." And Ethel's like, "Just get in there. You can do it. You can juggle. You have a winsome way." And he's just like, "Okay." He says, "I'm sorry." He says nothing. Like she like gives him this whole like, "You have a winsome way about you, Jimmy darling."
Yeah. That's my so boy. Then, yeah,
my boy. We cut back to Elsa's tent, because remember, the freaks have decided they're killing Elsa tonight. This is still happening.
Right.
Dot and Bette walk in. This is agony. So they walk in and they warn Elsa, hey, everybody in the troop is going to kill you. And then Elsa's like, okay, and then escapes. The only way you would think this is like sensible Dot and Bette is if the only thing you remember is like the very first encounter they had where Elsa snuck them out of a hospital,
yeah,
and protected them from being prosecuted, and ignore everything else that has happened in the show between then and now, because they act like that is the only thing that has happened between them. And they're just like, you saved us, now we saved you, we're even. And it's like, okay, she sold you though.
To a psychopath. Yeah. Don't forget, and I guess they don't know about the fake surgery part of it that Stanley was going to kill him with, but whatever, still. All right.
You could probably put two and two together. Like, I'm sure Dot and Bette know that Stanley, like, what his deal was now. So, like,
yeah.
I think they'd be like, hey, wasn't Elsa, like, super, like, on board with the thing Stanley was going to do? Do we maybe think that Stanley, since he was trying to kill Freaks, was maybe trying to kill us, and maybe Elsa would have known about that and would have been trying to get rid of us, maybe? Do we think maybe that would have been a thing? No? Okay.
A woman just got sawed in half! How do we care about any of this? This is so crazy! Like, look, I'll be real. If I had a plan to, like, kill somebody that night, and then, like, a woman got sawed in half in the middle of everybody, I'd be like, gang, we have to postpone this.
Yeah,
that's
right?
Insane. Like, we'll do this a different night. That's,
yeah,
like, this is gonna be, like, it's one of those things that, like, imagine, like, a hitman level around this, and, yeah, a lady getting sawed in half in the middle
middle of the day is going to make all the pathing go higgledy-piggledy. Like, you, yeah, you don't right? stand a chance. Yeah. But no, we're still doing it. Whatever, that bitch had it coming. It's Elsa time.
In for and, a penny, in for a pound. Yeah.
Yeah. So in the other trailer, Desiree toasts to Ethel, who, yeah, she didn't really know Ethel
it's not
that
appropriate.
Long.
I'm sorry. Yeah. It's like, you were here for like a month or whatever, you know? Like, the rest of them kind of live with Ethel for a long time. She's a big part of the show. Desiree's just been here. Desiree brought Del here, you know? Frankly speaking, Desiree had it coming more than Maggie in a way, but whatever.
Yeah. And so, they have Desiree, like, they're all sitting in one of the trailers, and, like, Desiree grabs a big bottle of vodka. Like, first of all, she's already holding, like, a knife in one hand, and then she grabs a bottle of, like, fucking Tito's homemade vodka, slugs, like, three drinks out of it while, like, stomping her foot on the ground kind of rhythmically, and then breaks the bottle when it's, like, still a third full, and it's just like, you already have a knife. You don't have to, like, glass or... But everyone else starts stomping along and getting all worked up, and it's just like, okay, well, this is stupid. And they all march over to Elsa's tent. And she's not there. I don't know why they like play it for tension, because she's obviously not there. Oh, do want to shout out Amazon Eve when she's walking up to the tent, does like a real cool knife move. Like, there's a moment where you just see her shot from the back, and in her right hand she's holding her cleaver, and she like does like a cool like Neo 2 unsheathing animation where she like flips it around, and I was just like, nice. Like, it was this moment of just like, damn, she was having fun.
She's gonna enjoy this. Although I don't know why Amazon Eve of all people would enjoy killing Elsa. Like, she seemed to be the closest to Elsa out of everybody. I don't know. It's just odd, but it's okay. We love ripping off the movie, freaks, and it's fine that we're doing it, because we said at the beginning of the episode that we've seen the movie. We mention it by name. So it's okay that we rip it off. That's how it works. If you say that you're aware of the property that you're blatantly ripping off, then it doesn't count.
You know, okay. I didn't even know this was the ripoff part. The part that makes me angry is still yet to come.
It's one of the many parts that they were ripping off.
But anyway.
Elsa runs into Dandy in a car, and Dandy goes, hey, I know you already sold the circus. Would you like to double sell the circus? And she's just like, okay. And he's like, here's $10,000. Never see me again. And she leaves.
Like, does the end? Can he even do that? Yep. Like, can he even buy it from someone who doesn't own it anymore? Can she even sell it to someone who...
I mean, she clearly can sell it. She did. I've heard tales of someone who sold the Golden Gate Bridge 9 times. So, well, like, you know.
Here's the thing. She can sell it, but then when Dandy goes to say, hey, I own the freak show now, they can all be like, no, that murderer guy did. So I guess you don't. You know what I mean? But that's not a thing, you know. So whatever, I guess.
Where is the deed? Where did she bury the deed?
From the future is saying, yes.
Where is Curly's gold?
Yeah.
So, Chester, we cut to a police station as Chester is holding a doll-sized doll wrapped up in blankets. It's like supposed to be, I don't know how it could be tension, because it's like clearly not.
You know, yeah. Like, we all
who would person, we think it is? Right? Who would we, the audience, think
yeah,
it would
like
be?
Yeah, like the top half of Maggie? Like, what the fuck were we supposed to think?
A very small
I don't know, like... he goes and he's like, I did a murder, I stabbed this girl, I'm so sorry. And he like shows them that it's a doll, and he's just like, well, I send me to the chair, I deserve everything. And they look at it and they're just like, that's a doll, sir, this is a Wendy's, please go. And they don't feel like, because the other thing too is, yeah, you noted it, okay, cool. The blanket's covered in blood. Like, if nothing else, if a man shows up raving at a police station covered in blood, they're going to take him in. Like, at the very least, they're going to be like, all right, buddy. And, like, pull you in a cell for a bit just to make sure you're not a danger to others. Like,
right. Yeah, and that dude's on the run.
Even if they don't think you did anything.
He's like, he did murders that he's on the run for. Like, they'd be like, hey, wait a second. You look an awful lot like some dude we heard about up in Georgia. Sorry, down in Georgia. You know, the place famously south of here in Florida. You might want to, we think we're going to keep you back a little bit. We got some questions for you. Yeah, but whose blood is that? Because, like, he wasn't covered in blood when he stabbed her. So that's new.
No. And the puppet doesn't have blood.
We hope.
Oh, God. Terrible outcome. Third possibility has arisen. The puppet's full of blood.
Miserable.
So that scene happens, no real conclusion to it. Dandy rolls up to the freak show and everyone like kind of, you know, comes out to see who this fancy lad is who walked in, even though it's like the 19th time he's been there. And he goes, I own it now. Can you believe Elsa sold it to me for $10,000, which is a pittance. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. And starts like walking around and kind of like, you know, grandstanding a little bit. Mm-hmm. Paul, like, yeah, Paul does go full like Smithers mode here. You're right. It's like he's just very immediately like, yes, sir, right away, sir. Yeah. Absolutely, boss. Yeah. And Dandy even is just like, oh, I need you to fetch me a lemonade with a paper straw. And he goes, yes, sir, right away, sir. And it's like, what's wrong with you, Paul? The last person in charge stabbed you with a knife. Have some rebellious spirit.
No, the last person in charge sawed a lady in half. The person before that stabbed him with a knife. Fortunately, the guy who sawed the lady in half conveniently took care of himself, so they don't have to worry about any awkward tension between Dandy and the other guy who bought the circus, because that guy took himself out of the story. Thank you, American Horror Story.
And then the thing that kills me the most is that he goes to fetch it, and Dandy's looking around at this his new freak show, circus show thing, and here's a weird, like, clucking-ish sound.
Kind of like a...
Yep.
Yeah.
And he opens it up and he sees Stanley, who is now a human duck, meaning his arms have been cut off, his legs have been cut off, his tongue has been cut out, and he's on these little...
They turned him into a goddamn meep!
They did! And that, like, kills me. So, first things first, why would I say human duck? Because that's what they call it when they do it at the end of Freaks, which is their shocking ending. And it's like a whole thing. Yeah. Like, this was a movie made in 1934. This was a really graphic, grotesque thing for the time period.
That'd be shocking. In 1934, this kind of, that would be horrifying. Holy shit, that would be so far ahead of the curve in 1934.
Yeah, it's like, I think one of the few reasons the movie's really remembered. And like... An American Horror Story is like, nice ending. Mind if we just do that? Like, what? Like, what is wrong with you? You can't just keep stealing. But then it also makes this implication because that's Meep. So, like, so was Meep like a Stanley? And then they forgot? And then they love him suddenly? Or Jimmy does? Like, what's gonna... Like, what? Like, why?
Yeah. I was actually gonna ask, like, specifically, like, oh, do they meep a guy at the end of Freaks? I've never seen it. Yeah. But, like, yeah, clearly. Because I was like, wow, that's a really strong visual. There's no way they came up with that. That's a really good, like, way to bookend this story. Wonder who did it.
If you don't have the context of knowing, if you're A, not watching along with us and, like, taking note of all the stuff they're ripping off, and B, have never seen the movie Freaks or, like, don't know about its ending... then the only conclusion you can, like, really glean as someone who has none of that context information is that every so often they just meep a guy. And that's how they got Meep. And, like, he's the new Meep. He's the Meep replacement, which is an insane thing to take away from this.
Yes. Or the other thing, which is, like, they're like, oh, I know, we'll give him a fate worse than death. We'll make him like that other guy we liked.
Yeah, we'll make him the new Meep. We love Meep, and we need a new one, because that guy, our Meep died, so we got a new Meep.
There's, there's nothing worse than being like us. Wait, I think we got the messaging wrong here. Hold on.
Yeah, oh, fuck. I think we screwed up the story. Oh,
do you think they saw his like massive schlong while they were meeping him? And they were like, oh, man.
Oh, my God. That had to have come up. Like, holy shit. Oh, what the
three-legged human duck.
Whoa.
Even meeping's never this big. Like, all right, Jimmy, calm down.
So, then we cut back to Massimo giving Jimmy his new hands, and they are still wooden puppet hands, which means they do not have controllable articulation. So you have to, like, push them against stuff to shape them in the way you want, and then you can, like, gently hope something falls into... They're not... We did the hooks for a reason, and they weren't great, but, like, they give you some agency and let you do stuff, whereas, right. like, just having a wooden shape of a hand at the end of your arm isn't actually that good. And... somehow they did something worse, which is Massimo recreated Jimmy's lobster boy hands, but wood.
Now no one wins.
And Jimmy's like the perfect, and it's like you can't hold cigarettes or jerk off now, Jimmy, you idiot. Like
now nobody wins. This is the Toledo Code. Nobody gets a good ending. I got my weird fucked up wooden lobster hands. Like, I think, okay, so what I think they're trying to get at is like, Jimmy was perfect the way he was, and he wouldn't choose to have quote unquote normal hands even if he was given the opportunity. But basically what this comes across as is that Jimmy asked for this specifically because why Massimo doesn't even know he had lobster hands. When Massimo showed up, he didn't have
that's
the period.
That's a good point.
So like Jimmy has to have asked for these, and like there's no fucking glory in suffering, Jimmy. Just get normal fucking prosthetic hands. Who is this for?
What if Massimo fucked up and made the lobster hands and then it just says like, oh, this is the best I can do. I'm sorry. And then like, no, it's perfect. This is what I had. Like, oh, wait, really? Wow, okay.
Huh. Divine
lucky
providence.
Me. Dodged a bullet. I know, right?
but yeah, the wooden hands are like fucking massive. They don't have musculature in them. They don't have nervous endings in them. They don't have the ability to contract or carry their own weight or support their own weight. So he has just strapped like 4 fucking pounds of wood to the end of each of his arms, which let me tell you, as somebody who's had to train with like weighted clothing and bracers and stuff for long periods of time, awful, horrible. One of the worst things you can do to your joints. It's miserable. Like, it's not even good training because your shoulders just want to fucking fall off. Like, it's horrible.
Hey, you know what else you can't even finger bang a housewife. Like, this is just lose.
They'll
I'm sorry.
Get splinters. Like, it sucks.
It's terrible.
He's going to be out of work forever. Anyway, that's the end of the episode. I know what some of you are thinking, like, well, where could it possibly go from here? Like, Elsa's gone, Stanley got meeped, Maggie's dead, Jimmy has new wooden hands, Dandy owns the circus now, like, where could
Ethel's
this,
dead.
Ethel's dead, Dell's dead, where could this,
Del's
what's
dead.
His name turn himself into the fucking police for murdering his puppet, so he's out of the show, like, where could this,
is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. More or less, right?
You're serious?
Yeah,
I think so.
No!
Yeah, no, that's it. That's it.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Fucking
did you think
me?
There was more Chester?
No, Chester's
considering
done.
The fact that he went to the police and they're like, well, you didn't do anything. Get out of here. I assumed he was going to come back and be like, oh, I didn't do anything. You know, like that kind of thing. Like having a weird pivot of like, I'm invincible or some kind of character to have a final arc for.
Nah.
It really ends on him just being like, sorry, I stabbed a puppet. And they're like, all right, get out of the show.
I don't remember 100% certainly, but if he does come back in the final episode, it's like a brief in passing, like, oh, and by the way, this is what happened to Chester, if I remember correctly.
He just, like, shows up, kills a person, and goes back to sleep.
Yeah, yep. With his puppet. But his puppet's dead now. Sad. What? Why couldn't someone just have pretended? It feels like Dandy could have just pretended. Because the thing that they're implying here is that Dandy knew this would happen, and he knew that he would kill the puppet and turn himself in, and that's why he would have no trouble buying the freak show. But there's no way Dandy could know that.
Dandy's now Light Yagami and all the things that keep changing on the show.
He filled the puppet with blood because he knew this would happen. Like, Unfortunately, this is one of the many seasons. I won't say every season, but it's like a lot of them. Of American Horror Story, where the penultimate episode, they like wrap up almost everything. So by the time that we get to the finale, which is the next episode, there's kind of like not, there's either A, way too much stuff for them to rectify because they introduced too much in the penultimate episode, or B, there's nothing to rectify because we rectified all of it in the penultimate episode. So the final episode is like this weird wet fart of like a Where Are They Now episode.
It's like, Where Are They Now? Yeah, which is like totally unwanted and unwelcome. Like, I want a Where Are They Now like episode of a show that has had like 10 seasons of the same characters for all 10 of those seasons. Then you get to Earn doing the, you know, he retired into the mountains and is happily working on cars or something. You know, you get to do that kind of ending because you've earned it because we give a shit about the characters. I guess like I hope Amazon Eve is well. Everybody else kind of sucks.
Yeah, there's really
kind of
other characters.
Season by now, it's fine. Like, honestly,
I don't know. Maybe I guess I hope Paul and Penny have like a nice life together. I don't know. I guess there's like really no other characters I care about. Ill. Yeah.
I'm through. I'm done. They can all die for all I give a shit. I'm Jimmy now.
he's going Toledo mode.
And then like I don't give a shit what happens to the twins at this point. They were supposed to die like 9 times and now they belong to Dandy or whatever.
I don't understand what it, to me the twins were like, that's the first plot line that you write that the entire rest of the show like weaves around, right? Like that's how the twins were presented up front. Not crazy.
They're like they're like arguably the protagonists in a way where they're presented that way, but they're not anymore. They're just kind of there.
Yeah, it feels like that would be the first story you would write is a complete story for the twins from beginning to end, and then everything else is structured around it. But like the twins just like showed up and then didn't have a story. Like it's not even just like they've been a prop for other people. They just like haven't done anything. Like their story is essentially they walked from one room to another 12 times.
It's like,
and
you
that's all.
You walk back Pink Cupcakes for nothing. Like there's no world it wouldn't have been better to like kill them off.
You could have just killed the twins.
It would have been the best.
And then had Dandy go off, and that would have been something. Then Dandy would have had a reason to pop off, and then we'd have a whole thing. Remember when Dandy like had a police kill a lady, and then that's like just we're just fine with that now, I guess.
Yeah.
Also, Jimmy's like the lam from the police because they think he killed 2 more cops on top of killing 9 women. That hasn't been addressed, but that does exist currently in the current timeline. The police definitely won't come back to the freak show or look for him. It's fine. And as far as Elsa knows, she left Jimmy like in that shed with no one else knowing like where he is because Maggie's dead, so... He'll get out, I'm sure. She probably doesn't worry about it. Also, Elsa's out of the show, which is kind of a big deal.
Well, she's not out of the show. She's out of the freak show.
That's so true.
Yeah, she's in the next one. I only saw a little of it, but yeah.
Yeah, and we know she exists like far into the future because Pepper sees her on a magazine in Asylum or whatever. Also, man, no wonder Arden hated Sister Jude. She looks exactly like the lady whose leg... he cut off. That's crazy.
That is crazy. Wait, yeah.
It's
actually
a telltale heart situation. No wonder he's so tilted about Sister Jude. Oh, it all makes sense now. All right. Well, we've got a finale to get through next time.
Yeah. Look forward to Freak Show, Freak Show, Freak Show curtain call. Until next time, everybody. Thanks for listening. See you around.
Bye.
God, this show sucks.